This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Now, good luck, and let the hunt begin.
We won't let you down, Taylor.
Because not only are we going to find 20 eggs within the hour, but we're going on to find 25 and then 30.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
Madison, I'm convinced that our listeners have picked sides and that you have come out the victor.
I mean, I love that for me, but what makes you say that, Rachel?
This admittedly lovely email from Jill, who wrote, "I love your show, and as an old person, it keeps me up on what's happening online, and is the only reason I know what TikTok is all about."
Okay, but like, let's hurry up and get to the part where she says she loves me.
So yeah, I was really trying to keep the niceness going. The last line in this email is, "Also, sorry, not sorry, Rachel, but I love puns. And every time I hear one on your show, I smile. Madison, please don't ever stop." Which I just think is frankly rude. I am being held hostage against my will.
Jill, I have really great news for you. Today's show, it's going to do it for you. Because since June, something extra strange has been happening on the streets of Chicago. Someone has been driving all over town and egging people, literally throwing eggs at their arms and their legs and their stomachs and their faces.
And nobody seems to have an answer as to who is behind the eggings or what exactly is motivating them.
Who is the North Side Scrambler?
Jesus Christ. Here's what we do know. A, there's a growing list of victims. B, there's a very suspicious white box truck with very distinctive red graffiti that keeps popping up at the scene of the crime. Every single scene of the crime. And C, there's a citizen-led Facebook group that has maybe watched too many crime procedurals, but who also might actually be able to crack this thing wide open. And as you can tell by the disappointment in my voice and Madison's glee, there are truly endless number of egg puns.
Here's the part where Rachel says she's exhausted or runs for the exit.
I wish for the sweet release of death.
But while Rachel waits for that, it's time for another episode of ICYMI PI. Dunk, dunk.
What, at first glance, seems like a silly story about catching a culprit egg-handed is actually a really important story about online community building, community policing, and crowdsourcing in an age where just asking questions online can have literally deadly consequences.
Joining us today with his trench coat, magnifying glass, and frying pan is Moshe Tamsat, the creator and moderator of the Chicago Egg Hunters Facebook group. He and hundreds of other concerned Chicagoans have been working this case for weeks.
Moshe is going to take us through their scrappy investigation from data collection to IRL stakeouts and how the group worked together to avoid turning an egg hunt into a witch hunt.
It sounds funny, yeah. And I've heard all the puns, but it gets serious because that line that we always heard when we were kids, you know, it's all fun and games until you lose an eye, is very true. And we just learned of a tourist visiting Chicago. She was watching the air show on the beach and heading back to Navy Pier. And she was hit by an egg in the eye from the white truck. And she suffered vision loss. And that suddenly made it all real.
Yeah, let's rewind all the way to the beginning. When were you first alerted to the hard-boiled menace that is whoever's throwing these eggs?
I first noticed them while walking my dog, Monster, through the neighborhood. I saw some broken eggs at the McDonald's headquarters on Carpenter Street. Then there was a member on True West Loop, a Facebook group that I admin, a hyper-local news group. And he sent me a DM saying that he also noticed eggs on the street. And others also said they saw eggs and saw folks throwing eggs. And people from other neighborhood groups also chimed in as well. And suddenly we realized we were onto something a lot bigger. So we set up a separate group, Chicago Egg Hunters on Facebook, and folks started chiming in from all the other neighborhood groups. And we realized Chicago is a city of 77 neighborhoods. And while they all have multiple Facebook groups, they all operate as silos of information. And we started piecing things together from eyewitness accounts and all the other groups, and they all started coming together in Chicago Egg Hunters that this was a pretty big citywide issue, at least for the north end of the city.
What were you hearing from other victims? Like, what's the kind of worst story you heard? And can you describe some of the images that people are starting to send in to Chicago Egg Hunters?
Yes. Initially, it seemed like they were primarily targeting women. Then we started seeing more security cam footage showing a mother and daughter walking in front of this pane glass window. So imagine the view is outside the store. And you see the white egg truck coming in from the right of the screen and heading to the left, and the eggs being hurled and just narrowly missing the daughter. And this is a young girl, probably about 9, 10 years old, right? And they both jump and you hear the impact of the eggs on this pane glass window. It's quite forceful. It's like, and then you realize, like, holy crap, if that egg hit that girl, right, how things could have turned. And that imagery really, really struck people. And then it started getting even more sinister when we started seeing some of the welts that people were experiencing. One woman took a hit on the back in the wintertime through a parka, and she had a raised welt for 2 weeks. And we were trying to figure out, how does one launch an egg that fast and that hard at a person? And then we started hearing reports of hard-boiled eggs, frozen eggs. And then we started doing some of the math, and these projectiles really had the capability of causing some serious damage. And then taking a look at the videos, stop motion, frame by frame, and seeing the trajectory of the eggs and the impact of these eggs, and you started to realize that, you know, if this person was driving and throwing an egg with that velocity and accuracy, they should be pitching for the Cubs, or they're using some type of egg launcher. So we looked on the internet, and sure enough, you could find easy-to-build egg launchers and things of that sort. And as the dots filled in our interactive map, we could start to see the pattern, and it all started pointing to the same place.
I love that you're like slowing down the footage, like the Zapruder of egg films, watching these in slow motion. You mentioned the winter. So this is, the eggings have been going on for months now, correct?
We believe as long as 2 years.
Wow.
How did you start collecting this data, and how did you start creating this map, which is absolutely incredible. I've just been kind of looking through it for the past few days.
Thank you very much. So I just set up a Google form. Now, this isn't very high tech. This is something anyone can do. And this is something I strongly encourage people to do. So I coupled that Google form with just a simple Google map and plotting the entries after verifying them, and then discerning details in terms of the truck's direction. So I reasoned that the earliest sightings overlapped with the latest sightings would point towards where the truck would be parked at night. So it wasn't just one incident, and it was repeated. And then we started to see that the eggers had basically killing grounds, if you will, target-rich environments. They were really focused on the north side of the city, and they would repeat over and over.
One of the very first posts in Chicago Egg Hunters is actually shared from Reddit. And the title of it is very self-explanatory. It reads, "Hit in the face with an egg in Funchal Market. Is this a thing that's been happening?"
Reports from people all over start flooding into the group. On June 4th, around 4:30, I was walking in Old Town on LaSalle and Burton, and I saw a white truck drive by as we waited to cross the street. Seconds later, I was clocked with an egg. Everyone around me thought I got shot until I saw yolk dripping down my shoulder. Frying pan emoji. Here's another one. I have to say, this is crazy. Yes, I was hit walking down Jackson, just west of Morgan, back in March. At the time, I couldn't believe I was hit with eggs by a white box truck, and now seeing this Facebook group, I am in even more shock. I had welts all over my back for well over a week. Awful! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Do the cops know about this?
You haven't mentioned at this point any police involvement, and I'm curious as to whether that was a conscious decision to just not involve the police, or if that was just a result of police not caring about these. I mean, it seems up to like 130 sightings or incidents that I last saw in the group.
When we started getting into this, people were like, did you get the plates? Did you get the plates? And then we learned that people had gotten the plates, and the plates were shared with the police, and this information was being shared with the police, and police reports were being filed. And we compiled all this information, and we basically served it up to CPD, and we waited, and we waited, and they weren't taking it. I mean, they were, like, understandably, they were busy, and they probably were a little bit embarrassed, and I totally get that. But it was also, as someone on Reddit noted, this was performance art. We were showing how the people could do it. How the people could come together and solve the issue without police involvement.
Can you describe your emotions as you're closing in on the eggers? Did every Facebook notification just like give you a jolt of adrenaline?
It was exciting. It was so hard not to announce. Like the pressure I was under to announce the name of the company, for example, on Reddit and Facebook, et cetera, within the group, outside the group, everyone wanted to know a name, but I did not want to create a mob. I wasn't here to create a lynch mob. I didn't want people to be vigilantes and reach out. I kept on preaching a mantra, which was no violence, no retribution, let the process play out. So we put out this big dragnet and wanted to get as many data points as possible onto this map so that we could track the direction of this truck and almost recreate it, because we didn't have access to plate reading technology. We couldn't run a plate like the police could. We're citizens. We don't have access to that. So we had to do it the hard way, brute force, collecting data and whittling it down and finally finding the place where this truck was parked. And then it required human intervention. We had teams of volunteers go down and verify that the truck was actually there. And then that sort of that confirmed it. And then the Chicago Sun-Times reached out and they managed to confirm what we already knew, that the truck plate pointed to the owner being Value Home Furniture.
I know you've mentioned that you believe there are at least two people behind this, but I've seen the singular egger referred to as the North Side Scrambler. Was there ever any discussion about what to call the villain here?
There were all kinds of different names. The one that really got me going was the Yoker. You know, that we had created.
I think that's better.
I love that one.
The Yoker origin story.
It totally made sense.
So, sounds like they're finally closing in on the Yoker, or as I prefer to call him, the devil in the White City.
Rachel, I believe you meant the deviled egg in the White City.
I did not mean that.
After the break, our ragtag internet detectives finally confront their prime suspect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as is genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
And we are back. Last we left our heroes, the Chicago Egg Hunters, they were closing in on the devilish egg bandits who had been terrorizing the city for weeks, if not years. Our unlikely gumshoes had just cracked the code, creating a map of the city and tracking the villains to a specific furniture store parking lot. Now all that was left to do was pick up the phone and start asking questions.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. I called, I identified myself as Moshe, as being the founder of the Chicago Egg Hunter Group. I relayed the information that I asked them if they had Facebook. They did. I asked them to go to the site. They did. They claimed they weren't aware of what was happening. So as they went through this, their stories started to change. They initially admitted to being the owners of the truck, et cetera, et cetera. Then they started to hedge and circle their wagons. And then they talked about doing an internal investigation and calling all the drivers in and identifying the ones that did it. But they never got back to us with that information. Then they claimed that they fired the one driver, even though we know that there was a passenger in each truck and multiple trucks were involved. So they kept on digging themselves in deeper and deeper. And I would love to see how that played out. The holy fuck moment where the eggers were like, how the hell did they figure that out?
Value Home Furniture has since issued a statement. The company was unaware that this driver was engaged in this unauthorized conduct. The driver was promptly terminated upon his wrongful actions being brought to the attention of the company. The company has no further comment at this time.
And the Chicago Police Department has finally assigned a detective to the case.
A real one, not like us. So, Moshe, the Egg Hunters group is now well over 1,000 people. Those numbers likely inflated by people like Rachel and me who joined to follow along because we became possibly too invested in the local saga. But can you talk about the online community that formed around this? The different people from all over the city who united and came together in pursuit of this very singular, slightly strange goal?
I would definitely love to talk about that because in the internet, there are different tribes, right? There's a Reddit tribe, there's a Facebook tribe, there's a Insta tribe, et cetera. And folks sort of keep to their platforms. Even getting cross-platform within a platform cooperation is difficult. But this united people, we had Reddit working with Facebook, we had all these different platforms working together, and it really brought together all kinds of people from all parts of the city. And then we had to deal with the fact that we had a group of victims and they were genuinely feeling true emotions. And we had another group of folks who loved the puns and one wasn't really compatible with the other. So we had to immediately sort of tone that down and ask people to be kind, et cetera. And that became a challenge, sort of reining folks in. But we seem to have managed to do that now. And we're very much focused now on solving the case and bringing closure to it. So, and also setting an inspiration and an example for others to follow.
Absolutely. And we very much take seriously the egg attacks that are happening to people. However, on this podcast, we also take puns very seriously. And
I love puns.
Oh my goodness. This poll with the answers about the various punishments people were suggesting.
Yes.
Tarring and feathering, hard boil the offender, the lottery, but with eggs, like the Shirley Jackson short story. That's so dark.
Yeah. But they were all very, very low voted, right? So, knowing the world of the internet and stuff, it could have turned out very differently. But I'm amazed at how people played well together here. I mean, sometimes you have to make very hard decisions in terms of keeping the group on track.
Could you give an example of some of those decisions you had to make?
Do you release information when you shouldn't? You know, it was the pressure that a lot of moderators or admins would face at the point where everyone wants a name, right? Where all the torches are lit and the pitchforks are up, right? And everyone's like, give us a name! And you can't. So really reeling it in and making decisions about group membership if there are folks that really want to express anger and who really want to cause violence, etc. They have to be pruned from the group quickly before that hate sort of spreads. And that basically puts the admin at risk in this Facebook environment. I don't do anything really anonymously. I'm pretty well out there. Everyone knows who I am. But if it's focused on me, that's a lot better than sort of being allowed to run rampant through a group.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of, I think, the hardest learned lessons about communities online. So many people kind of want to make the idea of a safe community, a safe space online seem impossible, when it really does just involve, like, something very simple, which is the kind of vibe checks you're performing. And it's hard work, but the answer is right there.
Right. And I'm guided across all my Facebook groups and other community engagements with a zero tolerance for hate policy, right? There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There is no, you know, it's a difference of opinion or a common ground. No, it's zero tolerance for hate. If you express hate across any element, race, religion, nationality, etc., that's it. You're out. That means that I have a whole bunch of racists that really hate me, which isn't a very good place to be because, you know, the world is getting pretty radicalized right now. And you know, I wish it wasn't the case, but, you know, you as much as you try to do good, right, you will always have an equal and opposite reaction. Einstein said it was E equals MC squared. He didn't say positive energy equals MC squared or negative energy equals MC squared. There's only one type of energy, right? The good and the bad. And if you're polarizing, you deal with that, right? Crack the eggs, make omelets.
Some people in the group also floated the notion, as with all online community, right? A conspiracy arises that the eggs were coming from inside the group. Are you sure you nabbed the right person?
Well, some people believe I was throwing the eggs, so, but that's always the case. I mean, yeah, so are we sure we nabbed the right person? I don't really believe that they're telling the truth. I believe that it's more than one person. I don't know whether they were actually fired. I really believe CPD stepping up and knocking on their door will get us more answers. There are enough folks that want to press charges, etc., that they're going to have to do their jobs. And I think with the help of the owners, and I think they will be cooperative once the police show up, we'll get to the bottom of this.
I mean, kind of speaking of police, you mentioned at some point the kind of radicalization of politics right now. And I'm curious as to what you think about the choice of involving police in Chicago at a moment like this.
I feel it every day, believe me. The city has a lot bigger challenges than the Eger. Folks are being shot and killed every single day, which creates a challenging situation. And I think we really have to figure out ways to build bridges of understanding with our neighbors and make their problems our problems and help them figure out issues like this. Like, they have their own versions of the Eger, right? Whatever that is, if it's a gang or something else, right? This is a way for communities to come together. Facebook has created neighborhood groups now where you can participate anonymously, which overcomes a lot of the issues in different neighborhoods where folks were afraid to speak out. They can actually now engage and participate in the fight against crime. What I'm basically trying to say is I think everyone can step up to take on more responsibility and to do more to help, to free up limited police resources to tackle the more violent crimes, right? That doesn't mean that the victims of the eggings don't deserve their day in court. They totally do, and they deserve justice. But we have to do what we can without having to get the police involved and saving the risk of, you know, a police encounter going south.
This has turned into a lovely conversation about policing and ethics.
which is not what I expected from a group called Chicago Egg Hunters, but I love it.
Well, the Egg Hunters thing is only like, that's like a flash in the pan, if you will. Mm. Those, you know, this group will dissolve in a little bit once everything's wrapped up with CPD, and there will be another mission somewhere out there. I'm sure, you know, another cause will need a voice and a platform. I wasn't egged. No one threw an egg at me. I wasn't a victim. But what I do is I can give a platform and a voice to victims and help them get some resolution.
I feel like this is the part in the end of the movie as the egg hunt investigation is wrapping up, and all of a sudden it's like, we're getting reports that someone is throwing tomatoes on the east side. Let's go. Yeah,
definitely. So there could, you know, people are afraid of copycatters, and, you know, there could be some cases of that. But what we've seen in our data collection is that it's all quieting down. So
I'm being informed by our producer that the east side of Chicago is simply Lake Michigan.
But there is an East Chicago.
Okay.
There is an East Chicago neighborhood.
I actually think that is most of our questions. This was incredibly thorough. And
oh,
also,
I do have one more.
Yes, go ahead.
How do you like your eggs?
Oh, my God.
I like my eggs over medium with bacon, hash browns, and pancakes.
That's a good choice.
May breakfast be the only thing eggs in Chicago are being used for henceforth.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Moshe.
Thank you so much. All right. That is the show. We will be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. Once again, it's free. And the best way to never miss an episode of ICYMI PI. Please tell your friends about us. Spread the word. Send us your mysteries. And if you have any more crimes you want us to solve, you can follow us on Twitter at ICYMI_pod and DM us your questions. You can also always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com. Who knows? We might have you on the show.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank are our editors. And Alicia Montgomery is executive producer of Slate Podcasts. See you online.
Or in a Facebook group.
Hypothetically, if you were to give yourself a superhero name, what would it be?
I am the Eggman. No. I'm just
Pikachu. No.